Let's read together Acts chapter 10, verses 23 through 48. Now, in the second half of Acts chapter 10, we have the conversion of Cornelius and the other Gentiles as a result of the preaching of Peter. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. Then Peter invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me?" So Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Acts 1:8. Now we've seen this plan and purpose of the Lord carried out in the book of Acts. In the first 9 chapters of Acts, we saw the gospel spread beyond Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria in line with the first part of Acts 1:8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." And now as we come to Acts chapter 10, we will see the beginning of the fulfillment of the last part of Acts chapter 1:8. "You shall be witnesses of me even to the end of the earth." In Acts chapter 10, the door will be opened for the gospel to spread to the whole world as Gentiles are brought into the church. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We've seen how God used Peter to open the door for the Jews in Acts chapters 2 and 3, and the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and now the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Paul will become the great apostle to the Gentile world. But here in Acts chapter 10, the door of the church is open to the Gentile converts by means of the Apostle Peter. Remember, Peter and Cornelius both had visions from the Lord to bring them together in Caesarea, where Cornelius, the Roman centurion, was stationed. Caesarea was the headquarters for the Roman authorities over Israel at that time. It was right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. We see in verses 23 and 24 that Peter and some other brothers left Joppa, where they were staying, and traveled about 30 miles up the coast to Caesarea with a delegation from Cornelius. Here, Cornelius and others were waiting to hear the gospel. What a great opportunity. And so much for our background notes, and certainly more we could say. But let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Acts chapter 10. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. God prepares the way for the walk of faith. God prepares the way for the walk of faith. We see this doctrinal point in the lives of both Peter and Cornelius. We see in this chapter that God prepared the way before them. In the case of Cornelius, it was not by chance that this soldier, who was a sincere seeker and living up to the light that he had as a Gentile, was stationed in Israel and came in contact with the Hebrew Scriptures and the one true God of the Jewish people. And it was not by chance that Cornelius was located in Caesarea, where Philip the evangelist lived. Most likely, some of the relatives and close friends of Cornelius in verse 24 heard Philip preach, maybe even Cornelius himself. And it was not by chance that Peter was only about 30 miles away, down the coast at Joppa. God was certainly preparing the way for Cornelius in his walk of faith. And the same, of course, was true of Peter. We've already mentioned that Peter was used of God when the Samaritans were brought into the church in Acts chapter 8. In fact, we read in Acts 8:25 that Peter and John preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were not considered uncircumcised Gentiles by the Jews, but they were not considered full Jews either. All of this certainly softened Peter up for his role in opening the door of the church to the Gentiles. And Peter had undoubtedly heard about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And we've already mentioned that Peter was lodging with Simon the Tanner, who worked with the hides of clean and unclean animals. This at least prepared Peter for the vision of the sheet with all the animals and the command of the Lord to eat what Peter considered unclean. But the Lord said that these animals were cleansed and no longer unholy. All of these events and experiences in Peter's life were preparing him for the next step in his walk of faith. You know, we see this principle of God preparing the way for the walk of faith taught throughout the Bible. God prepared Moses. God prepared David. God prepared Paul. And God prepared Peter. And God will prepare the way for you as well, if you are a believer walking by faith. All your experiences in life, even the unhappy and tragic ones, God uses to prepare you for the next step in your walk of faith. God prepares the way for the walk of faith. Doctrinal point number two, God directs the way for the walk of faith. God directs the way for the walk of faith. God not only prepares the way for the walk of faith, but he directs the walk of faith as well. We certainly see this teaching here also in both the lives of Peter and Cornelius. Back in verses 5 and 6, as well as in verses 30 through 32, we see that the angel directed Cornelius specifically to send men to Joppa and find Peter, who was staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house was by the sea. Now let me ask you, do you think we would have been able to find Peter if these specific directions had been given to us? I sure hope so. These are pretty specific directions, aren't they? Go to Joppa. Look for a man who goes by two names, Simon and Peter. He's staying in one of the houses along the waterfront. The one that has a sign hanging out in front in big letters, Simon the Tanner. I mean, even a child could have followed these directions. They are so specific. And of course, Peter was specifically directed in his walk of faith. We see in verses 19 and 20 that while Peter was reflecting on the vision that he had seen, the Spirit said, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Specific directions. Here again, we see the Lord directing the walk of faith. Now, does the Lord do this for the believer today? Yes. But two things must be kept in mind. Number one, the walk of faith is step by step. The walk of faith is step by step. Too often we want God to drop a blueprint out of heaven, giving us his detailed directions for the rest of our lives, right? The walk of faith is not like that. It is a step by step process. God does not show us his whole plan for our lives all at once. But he does show us the next step for sure, if we'll look to him and follow him. And number two, the walk of faith is a walk of faith, right? The walk of faith is a walk of faith. It is not doing our own thing and trying to get God's approval. A lot of Christians operate that way. No, it is wanting to do God's will completely and letting him guide us completely, even though it may be unpleasant at times. And be prepared for some surprises and changes of direction along the way. But God will direct you if you're willing to follow. God directs the way for the walk of faith. What about practical application? Just believe and you will be saved. Just believe and you will be saved. After Peter told the facts of who Jesus was and what he had done, and the fact that he was now alive from the dead and would judge the living and the dead, we read in verse 43, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." And guess what? Cornelius and his close friends and relatives believed and were saved. Evidence of their salvation was the filling of the Holy Spirit, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Notice, they were not saved by good works. They were not saved by baptism. That came later, verse 48. They were not saved because they cried about their sins. And they were not saved because they did some kind of penance. They were saved because they believed with their hearts. And the same is true today. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. How do you become a true Christian? Just believe and you will be saved.